One, two, three. The devil don't want me to preach this message because I can't stand handing mics in my hands. So we're going to get him back. Let's get him back. I'm real mad now. Hot. So on my birthday, I was my wife and I went away for a weekend, and I ended up in the mall shopping. How is it that I end up in the mall shopping on my birthday? You know what my wife said? She said, if you make me happy, I'll make you happy. So she ended up shopping. Lord, we pray for your word. We pray that you would speak to us. And we pray that people would surrender their life to you. And we pray people would understand how the devil is tempting them. And they would fight him in the way that you told us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke, I am your father. In 2 weeks, we have Easter. And Easter is the Super Bowl of the Christian faith. It's the Final Four. It's the World Series all wrapped up in one. Without Easter, there is no Christianity. If you're a visitor, what that means is that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are completely wasting our time. And the Bible is not true. And Christianity is a fraud. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, then Christianity and Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's either all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Why? Because Jesus is the only Savior that ever rose from the dead. So if all other religious leaders are dead, they cannot deliver to you what Jesus can deliver to you. That's what makes them different. That's why it's a Super Bowl. That's why people worship it, celebrate it worldwide. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have to bring somebody, or we're just a religion. Because he didn't die for the dead, rise from the dead so we can have a ceremony. He died from the dead, rose from the dead, so we can be set free. And so we all know people who need to be set free. If you don't know people who need to set free, well, it's impossible. You have to. You do. And so I want to encourage you and start the planning. You got 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from yesterday, actually, because we're going to have Saturday night services, and also we're going to have seven services, actually. We're going to have eight. We're going to have Friday one on Friday at Petco at the park, which was an amazing thing we had last year. Then we're going to have two on Saturday night, five on Sunday. And so you have eight opportunities. And I want to encourage you and all the people who are listening now to come on Saturday night. Don't come on Sunday. Because there's going to be a gang of people here on Sunday who they come on Easter and Christmas. They're Christers. And we want to have them get in. We want to serve them. So I want to encourage you to come on Saturday night. Bring your friend on Saturday night. We're going to have two services on Saturday night. I want to make as much room as possible. The 10 and the 12 services overflow. And I know this campus, and I know East County, North County, especially the 10 o'clock. We want to encourage people to come on Saturday night because we don't want people not to be able to get in. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Did we pray already? I'm tripping. I don't like this. I hate this right here. Got to have my hand. I got to go. This lady says to her son, I'm going to work. I'm going to be gone until about 7 tonight. So you're going to have to take care of things at home. The dinner is in the microwave. I want you to make sure you wash the car. I want you to make sure you feed your little sister and clean the house before I get home. And her son's looking at her with his eyes wide open and his eyes and his mouth wide open. And he goes, okay, Mom, but can you put on and tie my shoes before you go? He's 4 years old. It's a joke. A lot of times, we think we can do these big things when we can't even do the most simple things. And a lot of us will say, Lord, I want you to use me in the kingdom of God. I want a godly woman. or a godly man. I want a bigger raise at my job and more responsibility, yet we can't do the most basic things when it comes to walking with God. And yet we're asking for all these things and complaining when we don't get them. And one of those most basic things is knowing how to recognize when the devil is tempting us, and more importantly, knowing how to resist those temptations. Now, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, his first ministry assignment, which we're going to look at in more depth in about a month, right after the week after Easter. The first ministry assignment he had was he fasted 40 days. The Holy Spirit actually led him into the wilderness, into the desert, which if you're in California, is very similar to our desert, very, very similar climate. Matter of fact, San Diego's climate is very similar to Israel. And the climate in the desert is very similar to the desert where Jesus was. And he went there for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat any food. I remember reading that, thinking, is that possible? I went on a 40-day fast two or three times in my life. And many of us in here have. Can I get amen? And he went in 40 days and 40 nights, and then the Bible says he was hungry, duh. And then the Bible says that the devil tempted him. And we're going to see three temptations that the devil tempted him with. But more importantly, we're going to learn how he resisted those temptations. And it's very important for us to understand that Jesus lived his life as a man who was submitted to the Holy Spirit and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. He was not living as full God, because what he was doing was showing us how to live. So when the devil was tempting him, he was showing us how to resist temptation. A lot of us will resist temptation by just trying harder. And there's a try hard component, but there's something more powerful than that. And it's so simple. The devil is a liar. Whenever he tempts you, whatever he tells you in your temptation is not going to be true. And the most important thing you have is the truth. Everyone say truth. So we're going to see in the story, it's a very simple story, where Jesus is going to be tempted. We're going to learn about what the temptation is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're going to see these three temptations and three categories of our life. But more importantly, we're going to see Jesus simply use the word. The word of God is so powerful, yet we don't use it. Do not raise your hand unless you feel like calling yourself out. But some of y'all haven't brought your Bible here, and you know that we read from the Bible every week. You know it. Yet the devil has convinced you you don't need to read it yourself. You say, okay. Okay? The word is powerful. It's powerful. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Okay? And so when the devil is tempting us, we got to go right to the truth and not about what we feel, what we think, what someone said. So many believers base all their decisions on opinion and feeling and experience, when all of that is useless when it comes compared to the word of God. I shouldn't say useless. It's weak compared to the word of God. Experience is important, but experience will deceive you. Your feelings are important, but they will deceive you. How many of you felt like he was the right guy, and yet he wasn't? Can I get amen? All the ladies say, hey. You know, you can't trust your feelings. Fellas, you felt like this girl was it, and she wasn't. She was it. Read it. Verse 1, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we're going to get some of that in a little while. Returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, I'm not going to get into this because we're going to talk about this in a few weeks. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. So if you're in the wilderness, don't think that you're not there on purpose. God may be trying to teach you something. God may be trying to get you away from something. Okay? Being tempted by, verse 2, being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, he was hungry. And the devil said, temptation number one, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down, that all your temptation will have an identity-specific response. I'm going to say it again slow. Every temptation you have is going to have an identity-specific response. In other words, if you identify yourself as a son of God, you should respond one way. If you don't identify yourself as a son or child or daughter of God, you will respond another way. And I hate to break it to you, but if you're not a son of God, you're a son of the devil. Now, it doesn't mean you're a Satan worshiper. He is so subtle. It means if you say, well, I'm just all about me, that's exactly what the devil wants you to be about. He just doesn't want you to be about the Father. So when I say the son of the devil, I'm talking about someone who's rejecting God. Now, there are some people who say, Satan is my father, I worship him. That is a definite cult belief. I'm not talking about that as much as I just reject the Father. And if you reject the Father, you become his enemy and you become a friend of the devil. There's no in between. And we looked last week that when you make an agreement with the devil, or you decide to agree with a lie that Satan puts in your head, like God's not faithful, the Bible doesn't true, prayer doesn't work. Very subtle things. I don't need to serve. I'm not that bad. When you agree with the lie, you are making an agreement with the devil. And when you make an agreement with the devil, you place yourself into his care. Because what you are saying to him is, I trust your opinion. And then God says, well, go with him then. It's very subtle. Whether you believe that or not, that's how it is in the spirit world. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to think, oh, you're just a good person. And so it says here, he says, if you are the son of God. So are you a child of God or are you not? If you are a child of God, your response is one thing. If you are not a child of God, your response is another thing. You can't be both. You have to be one or the other. And look what he says. He says, if you are the son of God, command these stones to become bread. Everybody say, command the stones to be bread. Everybody say, lust of the flesh. The devil wants you to make an agreement with him. Listen, it's in your notes, by the way, what I'm getting ready to say. The devil wants you to make an agreement with him that when you have a desire in your flesh, your hormones, your physical hunger, your spiritual hunger, your emotional hunger, I want love, I want money, I want greed, I want to be promoted, I want to be acknowledged. You have this, what you think is a natural desire in your body, the lust of the flesh. Lust is a desire to have something. I want a woman, I want a man, I want recognition, I want my ego stroked, I want my pride stroked. Whenever you have that desire and you hear on the radio, we have our rights. You deserve this. That's all the lust of the flesh. That's what I want. And the devil will say, when you have your lust of the flesh, I want you to use your own power, your own influence to satisfy that desire. Now, that's what the devil's going to tell you. So you want a relationship? Dress this way. Walk this way. Say these words. You want money? Lie, cheat, and steal. Work all day and night. Forsake your family. You want to move up in the ladder? Walk on top of people. The devil will tell you, use what you have to get what you want because the survival of the fittest. So when you hear that, you have to say, do I believe that? Or do I not? So what he's telling Jesus, if you are the son of God, you are hungry, right? You haven't eaten in 40 days. True. The Bible just told us he's hungry. So why don't you use your own power to turn these stones to bread? After all, your father's not feeding you. God let you out here to die. And what the devil's going to convince you is that God's not going to take care of you. You got to take care of yourself. No one's going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. How many of you heard that before, by the way? Oh, yeah, I'm going to get paid. I'm trying to get mine. All that's from the pit of hell. So what the devil says is that you have this natural need. Don't you deserve a man? Don't you deserve to be happy? Don't you deserve to have a nice house? Don't you deserve to have 3 cars? Don't you deserve to have nice clothes? Who says? I mean, where's the cutoff? Do you need 5 houses? Do you deserve 6 houses? Do you deserve 1 house? Do you deserve an apartment? Do you deserve just a little shelter for the day? What do you deserve that you need to get that God owes you? And what the devil's going to tell you, you deserve and you should go get it on your own because God's not giving it to you. Use your own power and that's your temptation. So you have one or two choices. Either you're going to say, that's right. I'm taking matters into my own hands. And then God, we'll talk later. Or what's the word say? Look what it says. Verse 4. Jesus said, oh, by the way, Jesus has no problem with his identity. He's like, Satan, I don't need to prove to you who I am. And by the way, Satan, if I don't turn the stones to bread, or if I don't get my raise, or if I don't get my house, it doesn't impact who I am. What the devil's going to play a mind game on you is to prove who you are. I mean, all of us guys in here, I got to believe, most, if not all of us guys in here heard, be a man. Can I get it? Amen, fellas? In other words, prove yourself. I don't need to prove myself. I was a man at birth. That's what the doctor said. Boy, that was it. There's nothing else I got to prove. Look what it says in verse 4. He says, it is written. Everyone say, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And what Jesus says is Satan, it's not about whether I'm hungry or not. It's not about whether I'm going to get myself my food. It's about whether I'm going to obey God. That's my job. That's my job. I may be starving, but I will wait for God to feed me. And I will eat at God's command. What does that mean in a practical sense? You get your raise by you being faithful to God. You don't need to lie, cheat, and steal. Ladies, you get your man by being faithful to God. You don't need to hoochify your life. Fellas, you get a woman by being faithful to God. You don't need to lie to and manipulate a woman's mind. I will be fed and satisfied. All my desires will be satisfied by obeying the word of God. Now, so here you are. The devil's telling you one thing, and God's telling you another. If you are a child of God, you say, I'm just going to trust God. The Bible says, the just shall walk by faith. What does that mean? Is that I'm not sure how he's going to do it. I'm going to trust him. And in every step of your life, the devil's going to tell you, take matters into your own hands. Does that mean do nothing? Absolutely not. It means do what God said. And God's going to tell you to do stuff that's based on faith, and you're not going to understand. And God says, when I want you to understand, I'll tell you. Just trust me. I want you to go pray for that person tomorrow. I've been asking you for several months, how many of y'all want to perform a miracle? And all y'all raise your hand. And sometimes it's going to be, I want you to go pray for that person that you don't even know. You're like, but God, I don't know him, and what do you want me to say? I'll tell you when you get there. I can't do that. Okay, you just missed out. Sometimes that's how it works. God's like, he don't play by our rules. You just got to trust me. So when I speak, act. When I speak, act. No matter what you feel tired, I don't want to hear about you tired. Elijah fasted 40 days. He ran 40 days and 40 nights, and he was running from Jezebel, and Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he was crying out to God, God, this woman's going to kill me. He's a great prophet. This woman's going to kill me. What do I do? And Elijah said, Lord, kill me. I can't take it. And God said, kill you. He was suicidal. Kill you. Just for that, you're going on a 40-day fast. He didn't say just for that, but... kind of threw that in there. But Elijah said, kill me. And God said, not only am I not going to kill you, you are not going to eat for 40 days. You're going on a fast starting today because I got a bigger job for you. He's like, but I can't take this pressure. He said, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Jesus said, I don't, look what he said, verse 4. I don't live by bread alone. I don't live by satisfying my desires. I live by what God says. Number two, verse 5, it says, the devil took him up onto a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, all this authority, everyone say authority. All this authority I give to you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Ooh, let's stop right there. The devil, when he deceived Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth, to rule the earth. The devil deceived them to believe him versus God. And they gave the authority to the devil. Jesus comes, dies on the cross, and now all authority is, he has it. Matthew 28:19, all authority has been given to me. Jesus wants to give you that authority over temptation in your life. The devil says he took him onto a high pinnacle. From the top of the pinnacle of the temple all the way to the bottom of the valley was 700 feet. He took him up there, and look what he said. Look what he said. I'm sorry, he showed him all the mountains, all the glory. Verse 6, the devil said, all this authority I give to you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever you wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, all this will be yours. First time I flew into Los Angeles, I saw all the lights. It was 1982. Palm trees. Everybody was being brown because of the tans. Convertibles. All the girls in bikinis is back in the day when well, they still in bikinis in today. And I was like, wow, L.A. And what the devil didn't show me was all the nastiness, the pain. You go to Vegas, same thing, lights, ching, 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 and all the pain. My wife and I went to Vegas this week to hang out. We don't gamble, but we go to shows or whatever, and we stay in this hotel with the casino. I mean, they got a casino and slot machines, and these guys won some money because they were screaming. Oh! I mean, they were not only screaming, they were running around. Five minutes later, they were still at the table. I was like, uh-oh. They gonna lose what they just won. Oh, he's gonna show you all the good. He's not gonna show you the bad. And what he told Jesus is that all this I own. The Bible says the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He is powerful. He said, I'll give this to you if you worship me. The devil will promise you anything if you worship him. What does worship the devil mean? Very subtle. Just don't worship God. When you come to church, come a little late, miss the worship, stand like this and wait for it to be over so I can entertain you. At least that's what you think in your mind. I'm going to entertain you. You're worshiping the devil. You're doing exactly what he wants. Worship is a response of respect when whoever you're worshiping is revealed. And when the devil reveals to you this temptation and you go, okay, I like that. I like that. And you respond respectfully, that's worship. What the devil says is, I'll give you X, Y, or Z if you respond to me the way I want you to. And it's very subtly by just not worshiping God. It's a dangerous thing. I can't encourage you enough when you come here to worship with all your heart, mind, and soul. Don't let it pass you by, because you're not going to get another opportunity until next Sunday. That's if you come. It ain't going to happen at work. You're not going to go to IBM and go, praise the Lord. And music ain't going to be coming over the PA. It's not going to be in the elevator. Look what Jesus says. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and worship him only. Only. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you worship God, he will give you all the authority. The Bible says that Jesus has all authority in heaven, on earth, and he makes that available to you and me. You have all authority you want in Christ. Authority over your sin, authority over your illness, authority over your drama. If you just surrender your life to Christ, which, by the way, in a few minutes, you're going to have an opportunity to fight the devil and his temptation to say, I have all authority I need. I don't need to worship you, devil. I don't need to compromise my faith. I don't need to compromise my worship of Christ to get what I need in my life. I don't need to take matters into my own hands. I just need to obey God. And lastly, the last temptation, verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God. Everybody say, if you are the Son of God. Do you think that if he's tempting Jesus about his identity, over and over and over again, he's not going to challenge your identity? If you are really a man, if you are really a woman, if you are really the boss, if you're really smarter than them, if you're really this, if you're and always trying to egg you on to take matters into your own hands to prove yourself, we say, you know what? God made me what I am. I don't need to try to be something I'm not. And this is exactly what this one goes. Look what it says. In verse 9, it says, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, which is 700 feet above the bottom of the valley. It says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now he's going to use the Bible. Ooh, why do I need to read the Bible? Miles is going to do it. Because the devil's going to tell it to you during the week where Miles ain't going to be there to tell you what it means. And you will be challenged. You Christians are so hypocritical. You're supposed to love people, and yet you judge people. Loving people does not mean that you agree with everything people do. That's not what love is. Loving people doesn't mean you don't tell people when they're wrong in a loving way. Matter of fact, that is love. I'm so glad someone told me I was a sinner. So glad. I'm so glad people didn't go around saying, oh, you're okay, you're okay. Wow, I was destroying my life. That's not love, that's hate. And so look what it says. He says, verse 10, it is written, he shall give charge to his angels over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, Jesus, isn't that what the Bible says? Come on, Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, the Bible says that, but not about this. Jesus says, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Tempting God means this. Because I'm a Christian and God loves me, I basically can do anything I want by faith, and God will back me up. In other words, you don't preach, yet you try to preach. And yet you do horrible. And God said, don't ever do that again. Yet God has not called you to have a ministry to gang members, yet you go minister to gang members, you get your behind kicked. And you wonder, why did I get beat up? Because you shouldn't have been there in the first place. Tempting God is saying this, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to go step outside of what God has called me to be, and I'm going to do what God is not telling me to do, because I'm not living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm doing my own thing, and God is going to back me up. And God says, that's not what it says. And the devil's going to tell you, take matters into your own hands, prove yourself, and you're going to be the man. Everyone's going to look at you and say, look at you falling down 700 feet, and you fell like Charmin right on the ground real soft. Why don't you go ahead and do that, Jesus? And everyone's going to go, ooh, ah. And Jesus says, I don't have to have man approve of me. Matter of fact, Jesus said he didn't even believe in man because he knew it was in their heart. You know man is deceitful and desperately wicked. How many of y'all know that? So stop trying to get their approval. Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to test God. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. And when God tells me to do it, whatever happens after that, I'm good. There are so many of you right now sitting here in Point Loma, in North County, East County, watching it on microsites. The devil's been tempting you, and you've been taking matters into your own hands. And you've been rationalizing with your common sense. There's nothing wrong with common sense, but you want to get the unique word of God. And you've been making decisions on your feelings. And you have found yourself entangled and wondering why God is not delivering you. It's because you're not living on the word of God and you're not making decisions based on his promises. So in a minute, I want to give you an opportunity to say to make a decision to surrender your life based on truth. The truth is this, is that the devil is smart. The devil is deceptive. The devil knows how to tempt you. The devil knows how to destroy your life. And the truth is that we are sinners and our pride, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That our heart even blinds us from our own decisions. But the truth is that Jesus Christ loves us and he died on the cross and he has all authority in heaven. And he wants to make that authority available to you. That you may break the chains that the devil has in your life. That he may set you free. That you don't have to listen to his lies and you would acknowledge them. And you would even in your heart, even now saying, yes, I am being driven by my lust of my flesh. The lust of my eyes. The pride of my life. I want to be motivated by the word of God. I want my life to be on a rock. Wouldn't you love to have your life standing on something that is solid and doesn't move and that is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? And it's not the changing whims of people because people's opinion changes. People's perspective, they love you one day, they hate you the next day. And so in a minute, we're going to pray and you're going to have an opportunity to say, I acknowledge the devil's been tempting me. And I acknowledge I've been motivated by my flesh, by my pride, by what I'm seeing, by what I desire. I don't want to be motivated by that. I want to be motivated by the word of God. I want to be led by the word of God. I want to be set free from the unpredictability of my life and my friends and my opinions and my feelings and what I see. I want to be motivated and led by the word of God that never changes and the love of God that never changes in my life. So I'm going to ask all of you right now to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to listen very carefully. Lord, we know the devil's so good to tempt us in our perceived strength. He's so good to lead us to believe in ourself before we believe in God, to trust in ourself before we trust in God. He is so good at using the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of our life to influence our decisions. If you realize the devil's been tempting you in these areas, that he's been leading you astray, he's been using your own feelings and perceptions against yourself, and you've been following those feelings and perceptions and making decisions based on those feelings and perceptions. It's your ego, your fear of man, your desire for acknowledgement. And you've been making decisions based on those feelings and perceptions and not the word of God. And you want to be set free. You want to break those chains. You want to break the agreements you have with the devil to allow him to influence you that way. You want to break the agreement with the devil and start agreeing with God and his word. I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. By faith, you're going to be telling God, God, I want to trust your word. I want to learn your word. I want to read your word. I want to rely on your word. And I need to deny myself. I need to deny the urges of my flesh. I need to pick up my cross and follow you. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to be set free from being influenced and being enslaved by your own feelings and perceptions, I want you to pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, please set me free from my own perceptions, my own feelings. I want to trust in the word of God. I acknowledge Satan is real. I acknowledge that he deceives me every day. But I want to believe and trust in the word of God. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. I believe he possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want you to lead me. I want you to love me. I want you to set me free. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer for any reason, I'm going to ask you to stand up in a minute, whether you're here, North County, East County, Point Loma, one of our microsites around town, online. And when I ask you to stand, you're standing and saying to the devil, I no longer worship you. I no longer submit to you. I no longer have agreements with you. I am standing out of respect to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am standing out of respect to his word and his truth. And I am standing acknowledging that he is my God, my leader. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. That means by standing, you are saying, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. In public, I acknowledge you. So right now, eyes closed, whatever campus you're in, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to submit myself to you and I want my life to be based on the truth and not a lie, I want you to stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.